Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Well, I feel like if I don't start the message this way, I'm going to regret it. So recently, we've been talking as a team about here in Urbana and in Sullivan and in Bloomington about how people seem unengaged at the beginning of our services. And I couldn't help but notice today that you all seemed a bit apathetic during that worship set. And I know that probably wasn't the best opening set that we've done, but I think it really grieves my heart that there's so many people all over the world who wish they could worship Jesus in freedom. And yet we care about drinking a cup of coffee. You know, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. Just kidding. Whoa, what a way to start a message, right? Like, how did that feel to feel judged and condemned when you came to church today? You know, Jesus actually has really strong instructions to us. He says, do not judge. And yet condemnation and judgment is so normal, it's so natural, we do it without even thinking about it. In fact, it's hard to imagine a world in which we don't condemn and judge one another. Oh, you know, like when you were at McDonald's this week, I mean, not that you normally eat at McDonald's, it was a special treat. Yeah, right, we know they all have the best fries and Diet Coke. Not that you drink Diet Coke, because that stuff kills you, but I don't judge you. And, you know, it's 10:30 in the morning, and you see this person eating, like, two Big Macs and two large fries, and you think, like, how? How is that even possible at 10:30 in the morning? Or when you were at the orchard and you noticed those young teenage girls, even though it was freezing out, wearing very short shorts, and you thought, no, honey, you shouldn't be wearing that. Or when you were at your child's sporting event and you saw that parent stand up and berate the ref, and you thought, that parent needs to get it under control. You know, condemnation and judgment, it so naturally enters our minds. It's almost like we have a film of opinions that just runs through our head day and night, week after week. And we judge people that we interact with, people that we observe, and people that we relate to. All of this is seemingly normal in our world. And what's interesting to me is that not only do we judge and condemn other people, but often we receive judgment from people, don't we? You know, recently my five-year-old lost her first tooth, and I wanted to post a picture on Instagram. But I started finding that I had some, like, conflicting feelings. Like, I wanted to post about the tooth fairy coming, but should Christians believe in the tooth fairy? And I was like, oh, they might judge me. And then I was going to give her $5, and parents, don't stone me. We're going to talk about that later. Jesus has really strong words about that. It's her first tooth, and honestly, I'm a terrible tooth fairy parent, and so it might be the only time it ever happens. So I'm posting this picture, and I'm putting all these disclaimers on there, like, first tooth, yes, I was scared you were going to judge me. This morning when I got dressed, I thought to myself, are they going to judge me for this leopard jacket? It's actually Puma, but, you know, I thought to myself, are they going to judge me for the message that I delivered today? I mean, how ironic to judge a message on judgment. You know, judgment, it's damaging. It's damaging in a lot of different ways. It's damaging when we judge people that we observe and interact with. But you know where it's really damaging? It's really damaging in our deep relationships and the relationships that are really meaningful to us. You know, like when we choose to judge that friend who is struggling with her boyfriend for the 10th time, even though we've told her how to fix the problem. We judge our brother for drinking too much and partying during the week. We judge our parents. We judge our husband for reading on his day off instead of doing his honey-do list. Sorry, babe. Judgment in our relationships is a breeding ground for insecurity and fear. And what happens is that when we choose to judge or when we are judged, emotion so quickly comes to the top, doesn't it? Anger, frustration, worthlessness. But you know what I think the most powerful emotion that condemnation brings? It's shame. How many of you have ever heard, shame on you? You know, those words, they cut us to the very core of who we are. Because it says, not only did I do something bad, I am bad. And in this power of shame, broken relationships will surely be the result. And so we want to look today at why are we choosing to judge and condemn? You know, it just seems so normal, doesn't it? Like the receiving and the giving of condemnation. But how many of you know just because something is normal doesn't make it right? Today, Jesus wants to show us that there's actually a better way to relate and to love one another. Well, we've been in this series called Rooted for the last few weeks. And in this series, we've been discovering how do we build deep relationships in a shallow world. And first, we've learned that we have to be rooted in Jesus' death and his life, which means that our old sinful self is dead, and now we've been resurrected, and we are a new being with a new identity, and we're learning to live that out. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about weeds that can come up in our relationships. And a few weeks ago, Clay encouraged us to uproot the weed of competition. And then last week, Leah here in Sullivan preached on control. And in Bloomington, you heard Corey. And we've been learning that the Holy Spirit, he wants us to get rid of some of these things that hold us back from deep relationships. And so today we're going to dive into this area of condemnation. You know what I think is so interesting? When we hear these weeds, we think to ourselves, I know who needs to hear this message. My brother, my husband, my mom, my best friend. But the truth is, each one of us needs to hear each one of these messages. And so right now, you're going to turn to your neighbor and you're going to say, you need to hear this today. Campuses, join in. There you go. There you go. Oh, I love it. Here's the truth. Condemnation, it keeps us from developing deep relationships, and so today we're going to do a little weeding. Do you want to be free from the critical spirit that comes with condemnation? I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to be our gardener today and to have his way in our service. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here today. This is your house, and these are your children. And Father, give us ears to hear what you want to say today about this spirit of condemnation that you want us to be free from. We welcome you here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Matthew 7:1, Jesus very clearly gives us this instruction. He says, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged." Now, I hear some of you say, "Well, I need my ability to be able to judge." Because simply put, your ability to judge means that you can discern or you can come to a sensible conclusion about something. And that's true. You do need your ability to judge if you have time to make that light once it turns yellow. You also need the ability to judge, like, if the milk is okay when it's past the sell-by date but doesn't smell yet. So yes, you do need your ability to be able to judge certain things and to discern certain things. But did you notice what Jesus said here? He said, "Do not judge others." So there's a key to us there. There's a clue that Jesus is saying, where judgment goes bad in our lives is when we choose to judge other people. And that often is played out through this issue of condemnation. Now, you might be saying, what is condemnation? Simply put, it is our very strong disapproval. That's actually the definition. You know, it's more than just like disagreeing with someone. It's disapproving of their beliefs, of their actions, of their attitude. And it almost always begins this way. It begins with an element of self-righteousness on our behalf as we choose to distance ourselves from the other person, and we begin to compare what we think and believe and do with the other person. You see, what condemnation does is it's like us putting on the judge's cloak and telling people, I'm right and you're wrong. And what happens is we're communicating to people, we're communicating, there is something wrong with you, and this often gets communicated as shame. And I hear some of you say, like, well, sometimes I judge and condemn, and it's not that serious. Well, I believe you, but here's the problem. When you put condemnation out, you can't decide how the person receives it. And there is a piercing power that comes with condemnation, where it hits us at the very core of our being. And we say, ouch, ouch. And so condemnation and judgment, it's serious and it's painful. Well, why do we condemn one another? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Like, why does it seem so normal? Why does it seem so natural? I think some of us believe that God really wants to judge us, and he's looking down on our sin, and therefore, then in turn, we do to judge you right back. And therefore, we just judge one another back and forth and back and forth. But you know, when I reflected a little bit on my own journey, I think a lot of my judgment and condemnation comes from my own insecurity. Have you ever found that to be true? That where you feel insecure, then you turn to try to judge someone? When I was a first-year teacher, I remember judging one of my coworkers who was very strict. Now, here I was, 22. I wanted to be this teacher that all the students loved, that when they went home, they said to their parents, Mrs. Yoder is the best. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to be fun. And this other teacher, who was a veteran and really knew what she was doing, she had a method. She was strict and she was firm and she established her authority and then she built amazing relationships. But I made a snap judgment against her that she wasn't fun and she wasn't going to be the cool teacher, but really she was. And a lot of that insecurity was the source of why I was condemning and judging in the first place. So I think there's lots of different reasons, and there's probably more reasons than I even listed, but I don't actually think that that's the root to why we judge and condemn. I believe that there's a root that the Holy Spirit wants to expose today and heal. And this is what it is. I believe that the root to why we condemn and judge one another is because we have not fully believed and received what Jesus has done for us. You're kind of like, wait, huh? What does that mean? We have not fully believed and received what Jesus has done for us. I'm going to turn now to Romans 8:1, and we're going to read about what happens when we come into relationship with Jesus, when we belong to his family. This is what Romans 8:1 tells us. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You see, you deserve condemnation. You deserve judgment. But the case against you is closed because Jesus went to the cross and he bore your shame and he bore your condemnation. And when you say yes to him, you belong to his family. You are fully accepted into this family of God. And you're not accepted to try to work harder and do it better. No, he's given you the gift, the life-giving gift of the Holy Spirit, who now empowers you to live free from a life of sin. So here's the truth. Jesus has taken your condemnation, and now you, as his disciple, are going to lay down your right to condemn other people. You see, Jesus, he justified you. Jesus, he defended you. And therefore, you don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to justify yourself. So much of our condemnation, it lives in this space where we're looking around and we're just hoping that we're doing it right. Think about that for a minute. We're just hoping that, like, am I doing it right? Like, I'm going to look around to other people and see, like, I want validation that I'm doing this right. And if I don't think you're doing it right, I'm going to tell you, stop that. Stop looking for validation this way, and I want you to start looking for validation this way, where you say, Holy Spirit, you tell me who I am. You empower me to live this brand new way, free from a life of sin. And so this now becomes our marching orders. This now becomes our truth as we think about judgment and condemnation. You know, I like to think of it this way. You know, instead of judging my coworker, I actually ask Jesus to fill me with confidence that he's made me to be a teacher. And he's going to show me the right strategies that I need to be the best teacher. Instead of judging another person for doing something differently than I would do it, I just say, Father, thank you for my personality. Thank you for the way you've created me. And thank you that there's so much choice in this world. Help me see the right thing that you want me to do. You know, it's been said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. It's mind-blowing to me the power that we think condemnation has to change and fix people. When have you ever used judgment and condemnation in a relationship and it's gone well for you? My guess is it probably never has. At the beginning of this message, when I condemned you for your lack of enthusiasm, were you just motivated or did you feel defensive? You felt defensive probably, because that is what condemnation and judgment will do to us. You see, when we view people through the lens of condemnation, we cannot see them as God sees them, and we cannot love them as God loves them. And so today, I want us to make a fresh commitment that we're neither going to give nor receive condemnation from people. And that's what we plan on doing. Okay. Well, Jesus has some instructions about this in the book of Matthew. And so I'm going to turn there now, Matthew 7. And I want to read what Jesus actually tells us about this practice of judgment. And I'm going to suggest today that we've been thinking about this wrong. I'm going to pick up now in verse 1. It says, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." Man, that passage, it's like, Lord, what are you trying to say here? You know what I find really fascinating? People who don't know Jesus or aren't part of the Christian faith, they know this verse in the Bible. Have you ever heard people quote this to you? "I don't know the Bible. All I know is it says, 'Do not judge, and I won't be judged,' and something about a log and a speck, and I'm good." And, you know, this is Jesus's permission that I can live how I want to live and do what I want to do. And that's what I believe their hope is, but that's actually not what Jesus is saying here. Because actually, if we kept reading in Matthew 7, we would see that Jesus says these very words, "You will be able to judge a tree by its fruit." And so what I am suggesting today is not that we give up this necessary skill of discernment. What I am suggesting today is that we give up this habitual habit, or that's the same thing, whatever. We give up this habit of condemnation. We give up our right to judge and condemn other people. And that's going to mean that we're going to have to take off the judge's robe. Because what Jesus is actually suggesting here is that not only can we, but we should be people who do not judge. And he says, you know, the way that we treat people is how we're going to be treated. Because he understood there was this ping pong effect to judgment. That when people judge us, we feel the right to judge them back. But remember, because we now live with no condemnation, we have put down that right. Okay, so verses 3 through 5. You know, they're often interpreted, you know, that I have this log in my eye, but I'm really worried about some tiny speck in my brother's eye. So let me give you an illustration. Like, I'm not happy with the way that Mike's disciplining our kids, but before I can go to him and tell him I'm not happy and condemn him, I first have to look internally and see all the ways that I'm messing up as a mom and not disciplining correctly, and I need to fix those, and then I have permission to condemn. And so that's how we've kind of thought about those verses, right? You laugh, but it's true. So we've thought to ourselves, okay, so have you ever actually asked yourself, like, how does God know that I've got this big sin issue and the other person has a little issue? Like, it could be reversed, right? Like, they have a log and I have a speck. Ah, that's a good question. Because the log in your eye is not your sin. It's your condemnation. You see, it can't be your sin because we don't deal with our sin. What do? We believe and we receive that Jesus has taken care of our sin. And so if this passage somehow means that we look internally and we manage and we fix and we deal with the different sins in our life so that we can judge our brother with more precision, we have misinterpreted this text. No, what Jesus is saying here is that we have to remove the log of judgment from our eye so that we can clearly see our brother and sister. Because that's what happens. Some of you are in unique positions right now. Actually, the Father has perfectly positioned you, but today he's asking you, remove the log of condemnation so you can see what I see, a person of value, a person of worth, a person who has a destiny and an identity. We have to be able and willing to say, okay, I'm going to remove this log of condemnation. Do you know the only way that you don't condemn is to know that you're not condemned? Period. John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. What did he send his son for? Not to condemn the world, but to save the world. If it's not in Jesus' job description, it's not in our job description. Because Jesus is not just an example for us, he's an example as us. And so we have to lay down this need to judge and condemn. And thankfully, Jesus beautifully illustrates this just a couple of chapters later in a different book, John 8. And that's where I want to turn now to. And I want to look at a time in which Jesus really models, how do we live out this life where we lay down the log of condemnation and pick up compassion? And so in John 8, we see this story of Jesus interacting with a woman who's caught in adultery. You know what I find so fascinating is that the Bible is full of, especially the New Testament, full of examples of how Jesus treated people who were judged and condemned. How he treated the tax collectors, how he treated the lepers, how he treated the sexually immoral. And what we see is that he had compassion over them. He had mercy. And he didn't do this just for show. He didn't do this just to like make a great story for you to read in the Bible. No, he did this because he knew this simple truth. Every person is of worth and value. Every person has a destiny. And he has a good plan for every single person. And so we pick up here in John 8, and I'm going to tell the story a little bit. And Jesus has returned to the Mount of Olives, and the next morning he goes to the temple, and he begins to teach. Now, at this point in Jesus' career, he's gaining steam, he's gaining popularity, he's gaining influence, and the religious leaders are trying to trap him in a situation where they could potentially arrest him. And so he's teaching, and a crowd has gathered. When the religious leaders find a woman who's caught in the act of adultery, and they drag her through the area. It was probably a camp that they were in. They drug her through the area, and they threw her at the feet of Jesus, and they said, Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The laws of Moses say that we should stone her. What do you say? And of course, they're trying to trap him. If he says stone her, his disciples will be furious. If he says don't stone her, he breaks the law of Moses. And what I think is so fascinating is in that moment, as Jesus is standing and teaching, what he does. You see, what he does is he stoops down on the ground, and he begins to write with his finger in the dust. And theologians, they talk and they debate about what did he write, but that's actually not the most important thing. The most important thing is that he humbled himself. He lowered himself into a position where he could see her more clearly. When we're tempted to judge, when we're tempted to condemn, could we first posture ourselves in a position where we could see more clearly, where we could see the pain that this woman was facing? And I believe he was trying to ease her embarrassment, and he stayed down there, and the religious leaders, they kept yelling at him, and they kept saying, you know, give us an answer. And so I'm picking up now. Of course, I'm not in the right place. Picking up now in verse 7, and this is what they said. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. You know, what can we learn from Jesus in this passage? And again, I think the very first thing that stands out to me is Jesus' posture. You know, that he lowers himself in humility so that he can see more clearly. And I think a contemporary way that we could say this is put yourself in the other person's shoes. And so when we are tempted to condemn, when we are tempted to judge, we say, Father, what is it like from their perspective? What is it like from their position? And instead of meeting people with condemnation, we meet them with compassion. Now, I know some of us right now, we feel uncomfortable. And we feel uncomfortable because condemnation gives us a sense of control. We believe that our judgment will somehow enable us to change another person's behavior. But we learned last week that's not going to happen because we can only control ourselves. We don't get to make those choices for other people. What I love about this picture of Jesus is that he is not soft on sin. Do not hear me say today that in condemnation, when we put down condemnation, we allow people to just go on sinning. He doesn't say to this woman, "Now, hey, got you out of that pickle. Just good luck. Go have a great day." That's not what he said. And he didn't say to the woman, "Okay, now go and try harder. And like, if you do like 50% better, that's great. You know, I'm proud of you." No. He so boldly says to her, "Go and sin no more." And what he's actually doing there is he's foreshadowing what he is going to make possible when he goes to the cross. That when we actually are united with Jesus, when we're in union with him, we are dead to sin and alive to Jesus, filled with his Holy Spirit to live a brand new way. We have got to change the story that we are telling people. Christianity is not about sin management and doing it a little bit better and, oh yeah, like I have someone to pray to when I'm stressed. That's not what Christianity is about. It's about a revolution and a revelation in your life that you have been made brand new, that you have been fully redeemed, that you have a brand new identity, that God has a destiny for you, and you get to do it all within a family. That's the good news. You see, what Jesus revealed in the woman's life, he also redeemed. If we want to be revealers of truth as we partner with Holy Spirit, then we better back it up with his redemption plan. It better not be, you got to clean that up, and then we say, good luck. We have the ever-present power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And here's the thing. When we believe and receive the truth of this message, we have freedom to give it away. And so today, if you are struggling with a critical spirit, if you are struggling in this area of condemnation, I just believe that there's freedom for you today to believe and to receive that you are not condemned. You are not condemned. You are not judged. And therefore, you lay down that right to judge and condemn. It's such a beautiful and powerful picture of what I believe Jesus wants to do with and for us. We need to give people a different story, that we can be free from sin, that we can be free from this power of condemnation, enabled to see people the way that God sees them and love them the way that God loves them. And so, you know, we ask ourselves, okay, how do we begin to like walk this out? How do we begin to walk out this process of giving up condemnation and picking up compassion? And I just think there's just a couple of things that we do. And they're fairly simple. The first thing is that we believe and we receive what Jesus has done for us. You know, some of us today, we're struggling so much with self-judgment and self-condemnation, which has just left us trapped in this place of shame. If you are carrying around shame today, I just want the Holy Spirit to meet you beautifully in worship, to set you free from that. Because Jesus paid for that when he went to the cross. He paid for your brokenness. He paid for your shame. And our job is to believe and receive that we now belong to his amazing family, filled with his Spirit, empowered to give away the best message in the world. Jesus doesn't condemn, and neither do we. And when we allow that message to come through us and to seep out of us and to leak all over people, it's beautiful and it's messy. Because the second thing we do after we receive and believe is that we respond. You know, you're going to be faced with opportunity to respond to people differently as you interact with them, as you have an opportunity to judge them. And so there's a couple different things that we can do as we respond. We can respond with compassion instead of condemnation. We can lower our posture. We can ask ourselves, what is it like from their perspective? If I put myself in their shoes, what are they experiencing? You know what? Mercy, it's messy. And so I just want to encourage you in this process. It's not going to be neat. It's not going to be clean. It's not going to be maybe what you think it should be. But Jesus can meet you there with mercy. And the Bible is clear. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Secondly, we can respond with conversation. No condemnation does not mean no conversation. Some of you right now, you're believing a lie. You're thinking, well, now I can't even have a conversation with that person. I guess I just gotta love them. Well, yeah, you actually do have to love them. And if that's your first attitude, like going into the conversation, wait until Jesus fills you fresh before you even try. Right?
No condemnation does not mean no conversation. We should and we must hold people responsible for their behavior and their failures, but we don't reveal things to then not let the Spirit redeem them. And so we partner those two things together to say, Holy Spirit, you're the revealer, and Holy Spirit, you're the redeemer. And so, Father, give us eyes to see people the way that you see them when we converse with them. Help us call them up instead of calling them out. Instead of telling them what to do, we tell them who can make them right. And finally, we respond with prayer. You know, I think we so often, we think in our head, like, I can do it. I can do it, God. I can fix this person. I can partner with you. Maybe, but I think we overestimate our power and underestimate his power. Would we commit to actually praying about the situations that have brought condemnation in our lives and condemnation that we are giving? I think the Holy Spirit, he wants to deposit this deep freedom today that we could see people the way that he sees them and love them the way that he loves them, completely free from the weed of condemnation. Holy Spirit, we need you. And you are the faithful gardener. So we just ask you, come now, Holy Spirit, and just reveal lies that we've been believing, lies about ourselves, lies about the people in our lives. Father, you're so faithful. You're so faithful to grow us, God, to shape us, to mold us, Jesus, into the human beings that you always intended us to be. And we just give you our relationships today. We give you our judgment. We give you our condemnation. And we just pray now just for an infilling of your compassion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.